Theater of the Mind.
Just recently, I was catching up on my other favorite podcast, Dan Carlin's Hardcore History. For the serious horror aficionado, you can't do much better than world history as a source of material, and Carlin doesn't hesitate to bring forth all the gushy details when the topic entails a healthy dose of man's inhumanity to man. In this particular series of discussions, the story opened up in the mid-12th century with the birth of a very unique individual in the vast Eurasian grassland area known as the Great Asian Steppe. This man, Temujin, was from one of the tribes of nomadic horsemen in the Kamag-Mongol Confederation. The Mongols, like the other steppe peoples, were only a confederation in the ethnic sense. The clans and tribes within were usually in conflict with one another, and always in conflict with the other peoples of the steppe. But Temujin was a brilliant leader, politically shrewd, charismatic, observant, and absolutely ruthless in his ambition. He was able to do what many considered unthinkable. He managed to unite the clans of Mongols into a single force, which then allied with the other steppe confederations, and Temujin, now named Genghis Khan, led the resultant Mongol forces like a prairie fire across Asia, Eastern Europe, and the Middle East. Over a few generations, the Mongol hordes eventually overthrew the very empire of China and put Temujin's grandson Kublai Khan on the imperial throne. Looking at the numbers, the Mongols should never have been able to conquer China. The savage horsemen of the Great Steppe were mighty warriors indeed, but China clearly had all the advantages. Vast wealth, huge numbers, and the best walls and fortifications in the world. On paper, Genghis Khan and his hordes should have been crushed. But wars are not fought on paper, are they? They're fought in the fields and on the ramparts and in the cities, and in that hellish maelstrom of chaos and confusion known as the fog of war. Any weaknesses will reveal themselves and have a major impact on the course of the conflict. In China's case, one of their greatest weaknesses was complacency. Their massive walls and superior numbers had kept the steppe tribes at bay for a long time, and long years of military victory had undoubtedly given them a sense of invulnerability. But Genghis Khan was a master of both military strategy and spycraft, and by the time the leaders of the Jin Dynasty became fully aware that they weren't invincible, the great cities of northern China were already falling like dominoes, and the eventual conquest of the greatest empire on earth was underway. Those of you who are new to Hauntcast are probably wondering at this point, what the hell is this guy talking about, and what on earth could it possibly have to do with haunting? Faithful listeners, on the other hand, are well versed in the fact that just about anything that really grabs my attention will eventually remind me somehow of haunting and Halloween, and they're just waiting for the hook to come around. And here it is. Haunting, like war, is a rather chaotic business involving a generous mix of careful planning, resources, leadership, and utter madness. The actual slaughter may be simulated, but when the lights are out and the crowds are coming through, the noise and confusion can begin to conceal any problems until it's too late, and that glycol mist from the foggers may as well be the fog of war. Money, numbers of people, and good walls are essential, but simply having them does not a victory guarantee. Things go wrong, that's a fact of life, and the ability to think on one's feet and quickly deal with problems that develop can be just as critical as the proper planning that prevents most of those problems from happening in the first place. One cannot afford to rest on one's laurels and assume that if everything just gets done the same way as it has in the past, the same results will be had. Complacency kills. Just like in Middle Ages wars, walls are, of course, a very important part of a haunt. Like in military fortifications, walls are used as a way to guide crowds along desired routes and concentrate them into desired areas where they will be more vulnerable to attack, which in our case means scare. But a wall breach can be disastrous. A weak section of wall that gives way is bad for obvious reasons, but the aforementioned breach need not be catastrophic in nature. Haunt walls will usually have some openings built into them that are not along the intended path of the crowd, and are not intended for the crowd. Actors need to move around in a haunt, and large props, especially animatronics, will require spaces for mounting and openings for power and supply lines. It is imperative that haunt guests never have the opportunity to stray from the designated path and go through one of these unauthorized spaces. Locked doors within a haunt can be problematic if they're used with any frequency at all, so the haunter usually relies on concealment instead of locks to keep people out of them. Haunt guests, particularly when they're scared, will often move in random directions. This is greatly compounded if it's dark and the way out of the room is not easily seen. Someone confused and running away from the big scary guy needs a very obvious exit route. If they happen to see light coming through the space between two wall sections, or brush up against a free-hanging curtain, they may very well think they've found the spot they're supposed to go through, and then suddenly find themselves backstage. The safety issues this raises are obvious. In The Art of War, Sun Tzu stressed the importance of allowing an escape route for the enemy, as a fleeing opponent will pose much less of a danger than a cornered one. If a truly frightened hauntgoer feels trapped, he's going to head for any hole he can get through. And if one isn't available, he just might make one. Make sure the escape route is obvious, and be sure any door or passage that's off-limits to guests is well out of their reach. One huge problem that China hadn't accounted for during the Mongol invasions was the speed at which many of their leaders surrendered or joined the Khan's forces. The reasons for this were myriad, but much of the hasty fall of the northern provinces of the Jin Dynasty was rooted in the people themselves. Many of the outer provinces were populated not by ethnic Chinese, but by descendants of the Khitan, who, like the Mongols, were originally nomadic tribesmen of the steppe before they were conquered by Manchurian China. Conquered peoples often have rather mixed feelings about laying their lives down on the line for the people who conquered them. Ethnically, many of the Jin had more in common with the invading hordes than with the imperial leaders they served, and the morale of the defenders often quickly broke. Some leaders flipped sides outright at the onset of a siege. In a haunt, actors are responsible for guiding the movements of the crowd and are often the first line of defense against troublemakers. If drunks or hooligans start stirring things up in the haunt, the actors need to alert security, or at the very least avoid riling them up further. But this assumes that the actors care. Most haunt actors are good, creative folks who love the job and just like to have fun. But many of them, particularly the younger ones, can get a bit carried away in the chaos and lose sight of the responsibility they have in maintaining peaceful and smooth operation. A lot of this may purely rely on how they feel toward the owner or supervisors. High school and young college-age kids, who tend to make up a large percent of haunt actors, bring an awesome amount of energy and enthusiasm to their haunting and can be fiercely loyal employees. But haunt pay tends to be on the low end of the scale, when it exists at all. And if they don't receive what they feel is their due of respect or appreciation, that loyalty and dedication can wane. In a home haunt, old arguments or conflicts between relatives or friends, perhaps still simmering from flare-ups during that last-minute heated rush to get the haunt ready, can manifest as conflicts or unwillingness to cooperate during the show. Encouragement and appreciation for people's efforts are the true coin of the realm in haunting, and if the actor decides that you're a douchebag as well as a cheapskate, he may lose motivation to put himself out for you. Something as simple as taking the attitude of, "Not my problem, dude," and not reporting an equipment malfunction or not relaying a warning that a group is drunk and potentially destructive could cause major problems down the line. The disgruntled worker has the easy out of being able to say, "Hey, it wasn't my fault. They did it." I know it sounds a bit conspiratorial, but snippy little acts of passive aggression like this are common in any workplace, and in the high-energy bedlam of a busy haunt, a breakdown in the lines of communication can open a really bad can. Younger or less seasoned haunters can be a great asset to a haunt, but it's a good idea to have them mixed in among trusted, more mature, and experienced haunters who can rein them in or spot troubles before they come to a head. Disagreements and miscommunication are inevitable. But mutual respect is a critical part of maintaining morale in the crazy haunting environment. You don't want your soldiers in your garrison defecting to the Mongols. Those aforementioned lines of communication are an essential part of the haunter's ability to improvise, adapt, and overcome the challenges that can arise during a show. One mistake that was made all too often in the early days of the invasion of China was the repeated underestimation of the Mongol threat. Calls for help from besieged cities were often met with a deaf ear, because many of the princes and governors simply refused to believe that a relatively small number of barbarian horsemen could do such large-scale damage to such a militarily advanced defense. By the time it was widely understood that the horrific reports of the enemy's destructive capabilities and growing numbers were not exaggerations, the proverbial ball was already rolling downhill, and key cities were falling to the invading hordes one after another. Once again, that complacency thing. Just because something hasn't happened yet doesn't mean it won't happen. Any company or large project, a haunt included, can be lulled into a lazy sense of security by its own successful track record. If you've never had an actor or three get sick or hurt, for example, and suddenly leave you with a large gap in your show, you might not have the foresight to cross-train your entire cast to cover critical parts of the show. In theatrical days of old, theater owners and troupe leaders would leave a lamp called the ghost light burning over the stage overnight to ward away the spirits of past performances. That didn't mean just the negative ghosts of failed performances or onstage gaffes. Success could be just as damaging if performers became lax at practicing their lines, for example, or if performances became stale and repetitive due to an attitude of, "If it ain't broke, don't fix it." Any kind of performance-based project, be it a stage play or a haunt, needs to be conducted on a show-by-show basis. Each night is its own show, deserving of the same diligence and ability to adapt and address whatever challenges arise. It's good to have a fat budget for a haunt. It's good to have plenty of helpers and staff, and you always want good walls. But riches and walls and numbers weren't enough to keep the biggest empire on Earth from falling to invaders, and they won't be enough to keep a haunt together if leadership and planning are lax. It takes open eyes and ears, good communication, and a sense of cast and crew unity built on a foundation of cooperation and mutual respect. They say it's a jungle out there, but I think it's more like the steppe. And when the Mongols show up at your gates, you'd better be ready to step up. Keep the ghost light burning. From the Theater of the Mind, I'm Revenant, and you're listening to Hauntcast.
I'm going now. Heaven help you.
Please like and follow the podcast. Stalk us on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. Links in the description. And help us by sharing Hauntcast with all your haunt and Halloween brethren. Until next time, stay scary.